Welcome to Blinkers Off with your hosts, Jared Welch and Aaron Halterman.
Good morning. It is Thursday, April 4th. I'm Jared Welch. He's Aaron Halterman. This is Blinkers Off. Guys, we're here. This is it. This is the final week. I mean, yeah, you have next week in the Lexington, but this is the final huge push. We had it last week with the first three, I guess. This is it, Halterman. We're heading to Bluegrass here today. Mm-hmm. But this is it. The Bluegrass, I think, out of all the three races, I mean, I think there's one or two in each one. Well, not minus San Diego Derby. But that is going to show us, hey, is this horse for real? I mean, Fierceness did his thing. We'll talk about him in just a second. But Sierra Leone might make his case to say, you know what, hang on a second. Maybe I should be the favorite of the Kentucky Derby.
Yeah, it's going to be fun to kind of see how it unfolds. You've got the Bluegrass, which obviously is going to take most of the attention because of the Kentucky Derby ramifications. And then, you know, I think the Wood is a sleeper kind of race. It might be just okay. It might be decent. We're going to find out there. Then you got San Diego Derby, which is just kind of the Preakness prep like the Arkansas Derby was. So, look, though, you go back to the Bluegrass. You go back to Sierra Leone. Throw Door Knock in there as well. You know, there's no doubt Fierceness is, as far as from a talent perspective, the leader of this division, but we know who he is by now, and we know you can't really count on him. So that makes these races really important. I kind of look at it like this. If Fierceness would have just won the Holy Bull, and it wasn't even that impressive, but he just won, we probably would be going into this last weekend like it doesn't matter, right? But because of his inconsistencies and because he's just not a horse you really want to rely on, these races really matter a lot this weekend.
Yeah, we're going to play a game here every week before the Kentucky Derby, and it's going to be called What Fierceness Will We See? And that's kind of what it feels like, what you have, the decision you have to make. I mean, I'm joking, but every week, really, because you got to kind of decide, you know, at the end of the day, it's like, okay, it's like, okay, I know that he's the best horse. And I've told you this privately, and I still feel this way. Like, I don't know that there's anything I could see this weekend. You know, we'll be there in person. So anything I could see in person that's going to change my opinion of Fierceness is the best horse of the crop. I don't think there's anything that could happen. My question is, if Sierra Leone wins like I expect, he is obviously a very consistent horse. He's kind of shown up every time, basically. Do I want to go with that? Or do I want to go with the horse that if he gets the trip, basically, he runs off the screen, you know?
Yep. You said it. I mean, you're not going to see anything better than that because these horses, I mean, you could. The only way you could is if they improve literally up to 10 lengths. And that's not me being funny or me over like exaggerating. These horses have not even shown anywhere close to the capability that Fierceness has. And again, and like Jordan D says, you know, give me the Holy Bull Fierceness so we can make some cash. Yeah, exactly. Exactly true. If the Holy Bull Fierceness shows up, the heavy favorite not only isn't going to win, he's out of everything. So even the super, like, he's not going to be anywhere close, right? So, but look, I mean, I truly mean this. If Fierceness would have looked good in the Holy Bull, I'm not saying run a 110 buyer, but run like a 95 buyer, win by three or four lengths, like it kind of looked like he was going to do, I would probably be the most confident I've been since American Pharoah ran in the Kentucky Derby. He's that much better than everybody else when he's on his A game. And not only is he that much better than everybody else, if Fierceness runs the type of race he does in the Florida Derby, he's one of the best three-year-olds we've seen going into the Kentucky Derby. I mean, these numbers don't lie. You can go back and look. No. He's incredible. But with that being said, as I sit here on April 4th, in no way, shape, or form am I saying he's my lock, he's my pick, because of how terrible he has looked in a couple of his races. And I kind of look at the Champagne and be like, forget it. It was a two-year-old slop long time ago. Not really worried about it. I can't get the Holy Bull out of my mind. It was bad, and there was really no excuse. And I know people have tried to make some, and people that we know that know the horse very well tried to make some, and I don't buy them. But that flip side is, holy cow, if he shows up and runs that race in the Kentucky Derby, he's going to win by four or five, and
And if you went against him, you're not going to be happy.
And to kind of help bring that home a little bit, because when you're when you're handicapping the bluegrass, you're starting to see some of the horses that are kind of, they've ran against each other, and you can kind of start to at least have a guess of how good they are. And you look at the last race and Fierceness we're talking about in the Florida Derby, and I mean Le Dumbro, whatever, you know, just was awful, right? That's the horse that damn near beat Dornick in the Fountain of Youth.
Yeah.
And I mean, like, damn, like good, like solid race, right? And this horse, I think, got beat by 100 lengths. Now, granted, he didn't run at all, but when you start, if we see a situation again, you know, obviously Dornick did get beat, which is still crazy. Kind of think it's crazy. I mean, I'm sorry, Dornick beat Sierra Leone, which is crazy to think about in the Remsen. But say those two run 1-2 in somewhat of similar fashion, like pretty good race. They, you know, they're pretty close, but you know, whatever, whoever wins. You kind of look at it like, ugh, you know, because it's like, okay, that's great. Sierra Leone won again, if that's the case. But, like, do you remember what happened last week with Fierceness and how, like, how many lengths? Even if that horse would have ran okay, he would have beat it by 20 lengths, you know? Mm-hmm. And so it's like, they're not even in the same category. And on top of that, you're talking about a horse that, you know, Dornick has some early speed, but I mean, Sierra Leone, he's not only going to have to be up against it to try to chase down a horse like Fierceness, who's going to be, should be similar, like somewhat early placed, right? Mm-hmm. He's going to have to run down half the field, if not more, get through the traffic and stuff. So I just think there's a lot of concerns with Sierra Leone, even if he wins on Saturday.
Yeah, no, I agree. And I think there's a big concern with him and Catching Freedom. Talk about Sierra Leone and Catching Freedom. I know horses here lately have come from way out of it, but it's still tough. And it's yes, horses have come from out of it to win, but it's been a lot of horses that maybe were better than that horse that actually went up to win, but that one lucked out and got the trip, right? You know, you talk about Mage. He was just, now he made his own trip. He was fantastic, the things he did, but you look now and it's like, well, Angel of Empire is probably better than him, right? He couldn't get that same kind of trip. And so it does kind of fall still with luck. Even when a closer wins it, they got to have a lot of luck. And you think about Mo Donegal, he was probably the best closer in his Derby, but he didn't have that trip either, right? So, I mean, anytime you're going to go into the Kentucky Derby with a closer, you do kind of have that, I just pray he gets a trip, where you have the Fierceness aspect of it. And the Dornock, let's talk about Dornock because he's running this weekend. Fierceness and Dornock can kind of make their own trip, right? I mean, and that's why I always like to support horses, not necessarily that have to have the lead, but horses that can get in position. We always talk about it's a 20 horse race. It's a rodeo. But if you break out of the gate and you outbreak a lot of them, and then you have a more early speed than a lot of them, you may only see four or five horses in the race the whole time you're there. And that's kind of why I like to back those horses that can, you know, sit in a stocking position.
Good segue, Jordan. I was just ready to kind of segue into Forever Young. So basically the way, if you guys have been following along with Halter and I kind of going through these last, you know, I'll say a couple of weeks of preps, we've been kind of saying like, okay, we leader of the clubhouse type of thing. Okay. Catching Freedom, leader of the clubhouse. Well, then this last week happens Forever Young, you know, first of the three on Saturday became the leader in the clubhouse for me. He's my pick because I thought that was impressive. And that was probably the best thing that I've seen so far. We'll get to the next, obviously Fierceness happened, and then we'll get to the next one for a second, but Forever Young, obviously, I think is got some major talent. How concerned are you? One, I mean, you got the Japanese factor, and like until that happens, you can't overstate it, right? Like, I think if Forever Young would have ran in this weekend, say in the Stanley Derby, for instance, and he wins, then you have a little more confidence coming into this race. But until we kind of see that, and on top of that, this is a horse that is very clearly stated, clearly shown in the races, hates kickback. Mm-hmm. And what is one thing that happens in every Kentucky Derby, Halterman? There's a lot of kickback. There's 19 other horses. I'm concerned about that with him. The talent level is extremely there, though.
Is it, though?
I think it is.
I think if this horse wasn't so heavily hyped, we wouldn't be thinking that. That's kind of where I'm sitting with him. I think he's good for sure. I just don't. And I kind of agree with Curtis. And if he beats me, I'm not going to be too upset about it because
I'm not betting him. I can tell you that much.
Look,
he'll be overbet. Big time.
I guess the point I'm trying to make is I've seen way more impressive winners of the UAE Derby come over here and not do much.
Yeah.
It was good. Like every time I watch Forever Young, I go, that's a good horse. But I don't, that's where it ends for me. I don't buy the, he's some kind of beast. I don't buy it because I haven't seen it. You know, I hear people telling me that. But I feel like I can judge a horse about as good as anybody. And I watch the race and I go, yeah, he's good. Okay. Yeah. You know, I mean, here's the deal. A lot of it is, look, a lot of horses that I think have looked better than him have come over here and failed. Some of the failures haven't been because they didn't have the talent. It's because they didn't handle the situation very well. What tells you that this horse is going to handle the situation any better? None of them really ever do. So to me, it's just like he's shown some quirkiness. You talked about the kickback being a problem. He hasn't been overly impressive anyway. He's just been really good. I can't support him. And I think he's going to be like 5-1. And I can't do it. I just can't. So I think he's a good horse. I think he's a really good horse, but I can't bet him in the Kentucky Derby. That's where I'm at with him.
The hype has definitely been a factor because it's like ever since, you know, and we talked a little bit about that after the prior race before in Saudi, it was like, okay, it's like, okay, like, oh yeah, no, like, you know, because it wasn't good, right? The Saudi one was like, he did it, but it was like, whatever.
Yeah.
And you're like, well, yeah, but, you know, kind of that whole deal. And you're like, well, when you see it again, you know, we'll see, you need to see it in Dubai. And so I get that the hype has been a factor in kind of like giving the horse some built-in excuses. And I agree with you, Jeff. I actually, you know, you look at like, I mean, obviously Mendelsohn, and then you look at Derma. I mean, those were horses I thought looked better than he did. I would agree with that.
Yeah.
And we know what happened to both of those horses. It's just the Derby is a different monster. And like, you know, like Sylvie said, like you've got Fierceness doesn't like to fight. Forever Young doesn't like to kick back. There's a lot of kind of those factors in this crop. And let's be honest, like, yes, Fierceness at his best is like you kind of compared him to like some of the better ones we've seen coming into the Derby. And it's true. But it also is true that he doesn't have a lot of heart. And if something happens, and 1,000 times we've seen it where a good horse in the Derby has legit excuses, his would be that he gets some pressure and can't get the job done and really wouldn't be shocking at all. Like, that's the thing. Nothing, neither option shocks me about him in the race.
Mm-mm,
so,
no.
All right.
Just real quick, I think this is the season. Everybody tries to pick the Derby horse in February or even January, even sooner. And I think we're into the season now where my February horse, who I thought was great, is running and he's not doing quite as good as I thought. So I make all kinds of things up in my mind about it. I think that is kind of the season we're in. It's not just for Forever Young and it's not just one person. I think we all do that. Right. Because there's horses we want to win it. And we watch the races and it's like, wait. Now they were 18 lengths clear of everybody else now. So, and it's like, but yeah, the horse that finished third is not any good. He can't even win a race over here. Like right in that race, you know? So it's like, don't try to tell me that Pandagate's some kind of superstar, you know, it's like, they should have been clear. If they're any good, they should have been. And I think everybody kind of does that. You know, I think people are doing it with Sierra Leone. I think people are doing it with Dornock. Oh, Dornock, you look out. It's like, he kind of is who he is. We'll go to see the bluegrass. And if he doesn't run very well, then that's who he is. Like that's the thing. I think with Sierra Leone and Dornock, the people who really like him before that race, whoever loses, they're going to come back and say, well, he'll turn the corner. You know, he'll beat him next time. Where the people that haven't picked their horse will be just like, well, they were okay. Right.
Yeah, exactly. Speaking of, I saw a comment earlier about the Baffert situation, so we'll segue into into that because later in the day, after the last prep of the day was Muth just dominating the Arkansas Derby. How confident would you be in, let's just say he could run. Would you still be picking Fierceness, or he kind of would Muth be more of a, okay, because, you know, he's like a Sierra Leone in a sense that, like, he shows up every time, but it's Bob Baffert, the horse. I like him better than Sierra Leone, to be fair. But would you be leaning towards Muth if he could run in the race? And on top of that, what do you think about this last-ditch effort from Bob Baffert to try to get these horses into the, like, how big of a twist would that be?
Why did they not do this long before? That's the thing that I don't get.
It's almost so close that it's like they planned it to be this close. But I don't get why you would plan it to be this close.
I think if Zidane Racing would have started this process earlier, it might have a chance. It seems like a little bit of a long shot from a timing standpoint now. As far as your question about Muth, I absolutely go into that race knowing what I'm going to get out of Muth. So that's the advantage. He is so consistent. He is the horse that you as a bettor, you love him. He shows up every time he runs his race. That's all you can ask of a horse that you put your money on. Right. I mean, he's not going to embarrass you. If he was in the Kentucky Derby, you know, he's not going to embarrass you. However, you know that Fierceness is multiple lengths better than him.
Yeah.
And you go, well, how do you know that? Look at the Breeders' Cup. Muth ran a great race. Yep. He got waxed. He never even hardly saw Fierceness in that race. So it's you just pick your poison. I'm going to go with this horse that's erratic, but if he fires, I'm going to win, no doubt. Or I'm going to go with this consistent, slow, and nah, he's not slow and steady, but fast and steady, we'll say, horse that I know if Fierceness doesn't fire, Muth is probably going to run his race, and it's probably going to be better than everybody else. So He would definitely be on my tickets if he's in the Derby.
Coming from somebody who picked Muth to win the Breeders' Cup, I into that race and I was like, damn, that was like what I was hoping for. Like, yeah. I thought he ran a good race. He just got annihilated. And so, yeah, I mean, they're not even close.
Yeah.
See, I see a few comments here. I do think that I would probably – boy, that's a tough question. I asked you and I don't even know the answer for myself, but – I think if Muth could run, I would probably pick Muth. I like the consistency part plus the Bob Baffert part. Listen, say what you want about Bob, but he knows how to win the Kentucky Derby. So I think it'd be, I don't know. I get that. I would be tough. I guess maybe it's, we'll see him. Maybe we'll find out, right? We'll find out in the Preakness.
Yeah.
I guess we will, because it sounds like he might have a couple. I see a few comments here. Christopher believes Mind Frame is the best of this crop. He wants to get a future on him for the Travers. Kevin also enjoys the claim. Hey, appreciate you, Kevin. You might still have a place on the team after all. But yeah, Mind Frame got him on the fantasy team. Five-way shake. Real quick, Halterman, Mind Frame. Are you thinking they might be able to get him to the Belmont with the route? Obviously, we're behind the eight ball here, but how aggressive do you think the Pletcher's going to get with this one?
I agree with Christopher. He looked like, I don't know if he's the absolute best, but he looked like he could jump up and run against anybody. I mean, he looked tremendous. I think they'll be aggressive. I think they'll go Peter Pan, and I think they'll try to get to the Belmont. And for whatever reason, if that kind of is like, maybe too much too soon, if he has a little hiccup, something like that, then they might, you know, try to run in a little bit of a lesser stakes and then getting prepped for like Jim Dandy Travers. I think the sky's the limit for him. We heard a lot of really good things about him. You got to be careful though, because we're just in the business now. We know a lot of people and you hear a lot of things about a lot of horses, but when you hear things and then they go out and run like that, you go, okay, he's pretty good. Honestly, it reminded me a lot of when Fierceness debuted and we heard a ton of hype, yeah, and a ton of things. He was at Saratoga. And he went out there and it's like, yeah, okay, he's one of the best horses in this crop so far. So I think Mind Frame kind of did the same kind of thing.
I mean, I texted you like a minute after he crossed the wire. I said, put a claim in for that one, please. You know, yeah, like I knew I wasn't going to get him without a shake, but I knew that like if you're looking for that kind of horse, that's the horse you're looking for. I'm with you. I think they could run him in the stakes next out and he would compete. So
I agree.
That number was like, you got the number. Like it was one thing to like, the number was, I mean, the performance, it looked the part, he did it the way you should do it, and the number came back extremely fast. So it's like, okay, well, you know, that, you know, what else do you need to see? So, all right, guys, let's get into a big show lined up today. We're going to preview the final three major 2024 Kentucky Derby prep races running this weekend at Keeneland, Aqueduct, and Sandy the Park, the $1 million Toyota Bluegrass Stakes, the $750,000 Wood Memorial, and the $750,000 Santa Anita Derby. Let's go. Altman, while we were talking about it earlier, I had a question, then I forgot it, and now I've remembered it again. If I'm just curious, thinking out loud, like, and this could be a good question for the chat. Okay, if Forever Young is going to get overbet, and Fierceness is going to get overbet, and I don't mean overbet, but they're just going to take money, however you view them is whatever. But Fierceness is going to get bet. Sierra Leone is going to, assuming he runs well this weekend, he's going to get bet hard. There's three horses that we've kind of established that definitely have some issues, right? As far as like question marks going, big question marks in the Derby.
Mm-hmm.
So who's going to be who's going to be the horse sitting there on the board, in your opinion? I know we're early, but you're like, this is a horse that's going to be 8-1. You know, he's going to be sitting there. No one's going to take, you know, he's not going to get any attention. And this is a horse I think can win.
I think if you believe in Catching Freedom, he's probably going to be the one that gets ignored. When you think about it, all these horses are going to run after he did, and they've got these flashy performances. And then you got Catching Freedom, who's kind of going to be forgotten a little bit. I really think Catching Freedom, and I think Honor Marie for a horse that's going to be an even longer shot. Yeah, there you go. I think the Louisiana Derby horses as well. Honor Marie, Catching Freedom, people are going to kind of forget about them. And I think they're going to be sitting there at a pretty good price. And look, I think when that race happened, we were like, that was pretty good. I mean, we weren't like crazy about it. It was like, that was good, really good. And we kind of just like, okay, the new toy, right? And then you add three more races on top of that. They're going to happen this weekend. I think they're going to get ignored a little bit. Everybody wants that recency. You know, whoever wins the Bluegrass is going to take money too. So, I think it's those two.
Yeah, we'll get to that in a second, Dennis, but I'm with you. I think the Wood is, this year is, I think it's a good race. I think it's a good race. I think we got some horses in there that, you know, Tuscan Sky, Deterministic, two really good ones. I think that, you know, Tuscan Sky needs to step up again, and then Deterministic needs to kind of prove what we saw last time. But both of those horses, I think, could have big time potential, not just in the future, but in the Kentucky Derby. I mean, I really do think that. So, yeah, the Wood this year, I think, is going to be an important race. Obviously, the Sandy Derby is a wash because, I mean, I guess if you like Stronghold, I've seen a lot of comments about Stronghold. I think that they've all been from Curtis, but to be fair, but still, well, Stronghold is in the conversation.
My thing with Stronghold is I don't think he's being overlooked. I think the San Diego Derby is his hit or miss, because I fail to see anything Stronghold's done to make me think he can go win the Kentucky Derby. So he won the Sunland Park Derby, and he did it pretty impressively, and he definitely looked like he got better, but we're going up against real horses in this one. So I think this is the pivotal race for him coming up, because I see a world where he's second or third in the San Diego Derby, and it's like, yeah, he's not that good. But if he wins it, then I think that's the moment where he might become 15-20-1 and actually make sense in the Kentucky Derby. What he's done so far, I don't think he measures up, but the horses can improve. He does kind of look like he's getting better. This is the pivotal race for Stronghold coming up.
I'll be as blunt as I can be, and I apologize to you, Curtis and Jeff, if that sounds like you might like him too. I wouldn't bet Stronghold to win the Kentucky Derby with Halterman's money. With anybody, like any of the people I don't like, I wouldn't bet their money to win on Stronghold. I'm sorry, but it's just D'Amato. I think he's a great trainer. I just don't think he's winning the Kentucky Derby with this one.
I just don't think he's done anything to make you think that yet. I think maybe Saturday evening, after we've got that last data point, we go, you know what? He is improving. He ran better. Then maybe you could think of it. But as of right now, there's no race that I look at and go, hey, this horse is got a shot. Now, he catches a Santa Anita Derby field that I'm not saying it's impossible that he wins the Santa Anita Derby, because he does catch a field where if he can beat the Baffert's, I mean, there's nothing else there. So maybe.
I part of me, obviously, I have imagination in the fantasy league, so I hope he wins. But if he doesn't win, I hope it's Stronghold. And I hope it is, because I hope he takes money in the Kentucky Derby. I don't know how much money he would take if he won,
yeah.
But if he did, like, because I think it's dead money in my opinion. So I think there's going to be a lot of opportunity in this Kentucky Derby for horses that are going to be sitting on the board somewhat dead. Mm-hmm. And honestly, I put it up there and then I don't know where it went now. Yeah, if Deterministic wins this weekend, what do you think the Derby odds will be? And honestly, I think it could go either way with him or Tuscan Sky. I just don't think this Wood is going to get a ton of like hype afterwards, you know? And so yeah. I think no matter what happens, even if they win somewhat impressively, I think you're still going to be getting 6 to 8 to 1 in that department, mm-hmm. wouldn't you say?
I think so.
Because of all the things we've already talked about. Fierceness.
I think...
And Sierra Leone and Forever Young. I mean, those are three horses right there that I think are going to take more money.
Depending what number he gets, people bet numbers. I mean, that's just all there's to it. But so that makes a difference in the betting, right? He could even be like 12 to 1 if it's not like overly impressive because of the other horses we've been talking about.
Yeah. Who would I prefer, Stronghold or Encino? Well, that's a tough question to answer right now. I think we'll I mean, we don't really know. I'm thinking Encino's going to run well this weekend.
Mm-hmm.
So I would lean towards him, but he may not run well in the dirt. And then it may not be a kind mm-hmm. of a moot point. So
mm-hmm.
I think talent wise, I would take Encino.
I want to bring this up here. Jeff says all these conversations are moot. If you can't see that, barring bad racing luck, Fierceness will win for fun. You're just plain dumb. The problem, Jeff, is most years when I see a horse that runs that kind of race, I would say yes, right? I mean, to me, it's like I would be just as confident. American Pharoah, Justify, Nyquist, all those horses that I was very confident in going into the Derby. The problem, Jeff, is you're not just plain dumb if you're against Fierceness. Because of what we've seen, him losing races where he should romp at low odds, that's why this is a conversation. Most years, I would totally say, hey, this is an amazing horse. If you haven't seen him lose races he towered over the field against, then that's why this Kentucky Derby has become very difficult, because...
Yeah,
it would not be a shock at all if Fierceness loses at 1 to 5, because we are, well, he's not going to be 1 to 5 in the Derby, but it wouldn't be a shock at all if Fierceness loses at short odds, because two of his four races, that's exactly what he's done.
Yeah, like if we could have put the champagne away, filed it away, never looked or talked about it again. We could be like, you know what, that just happened. Like, you know what, totally. It, 2-year-old, the track was a shit. You know.
Mm-hmm.
Forget about it. Doesn't matter anymore.
Mm-hmm.
But then the Holy Bull happened, and you're like, what? No, zero excuses. He didn't. He had zero excuses in the race. And I don't want to even talk. Like, yes, it was off the bench, but come on. Like,
I kept saying that day when people are making excuses, like, look, I get it. Maybe he's not fit and blah, blah, blah. That was the worst running in the history of the Holy Bull. And I'm talking about, that's not an opinion. That's a fact. That's a timing fact. It wasn't even close to being the second worst Holy Bull ever. He lost to a horse that was a joke. I like Hades as a Florida bred in Florida. I think he's a good story. He's not very good as far as a Kentucky Derby type. And he looked him straight in the eye and he put him away, and he put him away so badly. He just completely stopped and let another horse that's not very good finish. Yeah. So
that's the it. Problem. If you're betting Fierceness, you kind of just are all or, you know, all or nothing, you know, you're absolutely singling on top. If you're playing Exacta or whatever, there's no point of playing him underneath.
Yeah.
He's all or nothing horse.
Yeah. And again, I want to be very clear. He may very well end up being my pick, but to say that everybody's dumb for thinking about playing somebody else when it's the data is right there that this horse is, he's kind of got a mind of his own. And look, if his mind is right, everybody that picks against Fierceness in that race, if he runs his race, you're beat, period. That is not a debate. There is no debate. If he runs what he did in the Florida Derby, all your horses that you tried to play against him are done.
Wouldn't you say, like, and I don't even know if it's the right strategy or that it would work anyways, but if you are them, if you, you know, if you're Pletcher and everyone, you know, Repoli, and like, given what we know, wouldn't you just say, you know what, forget it, just go, just out of the gate, and especially out of the Derby, like, because you got to get position, and obviously it's going to depend where he draws, but like, just go, just, I don't care if he has to run a 46 opening quarter, doesn't matter, get him in the clear, get him in a spot, and then let it unfold how it unfolds. But if you don't have fierceness and be beat because you overthought it a little bit. You wanted to tuck in and save position, save ground. No, forget it. Like, you're the best horse in the group by multiple lengths. So go. I don't care if you run, you know, like a 46, you know, like 22 and 46. Whatever. Get them in a spot. And then, you know, you can let the race unfold. But, and maybe it doesn't work. We've seen horses like that that go out crazy and then, you know, they collapse. But I just think for him, his biggest thing is to not be, he doesn't, if he gets any sort of test, especially when they hit the top of the stretch, you don't want to have him doing too much work as they get to the top of the stretch, because then he's out, he's got no chance. Get him in a spot early in the race to where when they hit the top of the stretch, it's really just him and another horse, you know? And it's after that, it's like, well, dude, I mean, what more can you do?
The fact that we're even having this conversation shows the vulnerability of this heavy favorite. Mm-hmm. When Justify or Nyquist or American Pharoah or California Chrome, I'll even throw him in there. Those were horses I just felt like there's no way they're losing. We didn't even talk about this. We were just like, just make sure you draw great, you draw a decent post, and hopefully they break well. After that, they can stock, they can go to the lead, they can do whatever, because they will do exactly what's asked. Nothing bothers them.
Yeah.
That's what you want out of a favorite in the Derby.
Yeah.
You don't want a favorite that's like, oh gosh, hopefully nobody gets next to him. What?
Yeah. I mean, yeah. Hopefully no one tests his heart, because he will collapse like a cheap tent.
Hopefully he doesn't have to show heart in the biggest race of his life. I mean, this is the reason why it doesn't feel good supporting him at a short price. There's all kinds of holes you can poke in him right now.
Dude, you know, guys, and just do yourselves a favor. It seems like I periodically, because I'll be going through replays of for certain things for the site. Do yourself a favor. If you guys have, it's been a minute, go watch the Arkansas or the Kentucky Derby with Pharoah. It is such a, because he was clearly like, he had his like C+ effort that day. And was why, I mean, he was like, you know, that's, you talk about riding a horse that was, they knew that would, or at least believed would win the race. 20, you know, he's like 20 lengths wide the whole way around. It felt like,
yeah,
just, you know, that's the kind of trip that you can't, you don't want if you're fiercest. Now, granted, he was in the clear, but that the heart, right? The testing, you don't want that. You don't want that with fiercest. And that's kind of like what you're talking about. Pharoah had a, golly, he dug down. That was a hell of a race. Anyways, all right, guys, we got big races to talk about this weekend. Three. But we'll kick things off at Keeneland. Halterman and I will be there live in person at Keeneland on Saturday.
And they're off in the Toyota Bluegrass Stakes.
We're race 10, the Toyota Bluegrass Stakes, grade one, $1 million, going a mile and eighth for three-year-olds. All these will be 100 points for the winner, 150, 25, 15, 10. I guess technically maybe the Standing Derby, we'll talk about that in a second, will not. But technically 100 points to the winner, 50 the second, 25 for third. For a lot of these horses, you get top three, you're in. Some of them have points already. We look at this race here, Halterman, 2-1 on Sierra Leone, 3-1 on Dornick, 7-2 on Just a Touch. That's kind of the horse, I think, out of the group, out of those three anyways, but kind of the one that no one's really talking. Everyone's like, oh, Sierra Leone, Dornick, rematch. But Just a Touch is coming in here for Brad Cox. Let's not forget, you know, Brad, when he brings a horse into this race, they typically run really, really well. Maybe they don't win, but there's horses like he gets them ready for this race. And I would be shocked if this horse doesn't run well as kind of, honestly, I wouldn't be surprised if he beats one of those two horses. Now, which one is it? We'll find out. But thoughts on the Bluegrass?
Yeah, it's a great race. I think it does provide you two very logical horses. If you want to go logical, I think Dornoch and Sierra Leone are definitely either one that you back. I can't really talk you off the other one, right? I mean, they're both solid. You can make big cases for both. I think both of them shouldn't, you know, logically improve off of their race last time out as well. So all positive things. And look, the Remsen, you go back, you watch that race. Am I going to be shocked if it's the same kind of race where they're knocking heads down the stretch and galloping away from everybody else? No, not at all. I think they look like the two best horses. It's just, you know, pick the one you like the best and go for it if you want to go for the shorter prices. But the thing I like about the Bluegrass, if you want to go for a bigger price, you don't really have to make shit up, right? I mean, there's horses that are there for the taking that are going to be 6-8 to 1. I think Encino is definitely one of them. And you mentioned the Brad Cox runners. I think Flavian Pratt getting aboard Encino is very interesting to me. And I know it probably is because Giroux has been on just a touch. They weren't going to replace him, but I think Encino at 12-1. I mean, that's a horse you don't really have to make a ton of. Like I said earlier, you don't have to make anything up about this horse. He's good. He's been good. He's getting better. He's got a pedigree that says the dirt shouldn't be a big problem after running on the synthetic. So he's not who I'm going to put on top, but I've got him. I think we've got to think of Encino as a horse that could upset in this one.
I would say he surprised me last time, but if you guys remember, like, I was kind of like, okay, like, yeah, I think he's a nice horse, but you don't typically see like these big time Brad Cox horses being debuted on the synthetic at Turfway. You know, that's just not typical. And so, but you know, the way he won that Battaglia was like, okay, like he's a nice horse for sure. Now we're trying the dirt for the first time. I put him in the contender list just because I do think the talent is there. Now, if it translates to dirt, I'm with you. The jockey upgrade here to Pratt, you cannot understate that. And let's not forget, like last year, you know, Tabit Trice came into this race, ran his best race, right? But he came in, it's a huge, you know, like yeah. This is the horse. Verifying gave him everything, right? He ran huge, and Verifying like really wasn't that good. But Brad Cox gets these horses to this race, and they're ready to run. And I think both Just a Touch and Encino will have something to say when it comes to these two, like the two favorites. So I wouldn't be surprised at all. And especially when you're looking at Just a Touch at 7-2 versus 12-1 on Encino. If you get anywhere in the ballpark, I have no problem taking Encino, because here's the thing. He's the unknown factor. We don't know what he is on the dirt yet. So to me, I have no doubt or no question, especially when you're talking about taking short prices. I would rather play him at 10-1 than play Dornoch at 3-1. How about that?
Yeah, I don't hate that opinion. I think you kind of said it, the Brad Cox thing here. He gets him to run well in the Bluegrass. But you know who gets him to run the best in the Bluegrass? Brad Cox. Or no, excuse me, Chad Brown.
You almost had it. You almost had it. I knew where you were going with that one. Chad Brown, of course.
Chad Brown. If Sierra Leone follows the path of all of his other Bluegrass runners,
yeah,
he will be extremely tough to beat on Saturday. It's a horse race. There's good horses in here. Maybe Dornoch can get away from them. You know, maybe he gets stuck in traffic. Maybe we can. That's every race, right? But when you look at what this guy has done in the Bluegrass, it's incredible. It's absolutely incredible. Chad Brown and the Bluegrass. He always has his best 3-year-old here. I think this might be, I don't know if this horse is his best 3-year-old that he's ever had on the Kentucky Derby Trail, but he ranks up there with a lot of them, right? And if you look at the race that, say, Zandon ran here, it was so much better than anything else he had done before. And he won, and he ran very well. You look at the race Good Magic, how he improved in this race. If Sierra Leone improves off of his Risen Star and runs that big Chad Brown Bluegrass race, I think they'll have a hard time holding him off. So I have to stick with Chad Brown in this race. And again, it's going to be interesting to see what happens, but I really think Sierra Leone's going to fire a big one.
To kind of go off of this comment from Sylvia, I think Encino is a better cock, so I'm taking Sierra Leone all day. If Deterministic wins the Wood earlier, I believe that's before this race. I think it is. Someone can correct me that. if he wins, let's just say, if he wins the race, are you more interested in just a touch because of the flattery of it, that Gotham?
Maybe. No, I'm going to say no. Okay. And that could make me look foolish, but you go back and watch that race. Just a touch just didn't look great.
I'm with
now,
you.
It was his second race, and it was over a terrible track. Like, the track was so sloppy that day.
Yeah.
So there are reasons to think he's going to run better here, but I guess my best answer would be, it really depends on the odds. If the odds are what they are on the morning line, I can't back him at 7-2. I think you need a little bit better price on him.
I agree. The wood is before this. It's about an hour and a half or so before it. So, okay. Well, no, at least how deterministic fared in that race. But yeah, I'm with you. I think I honestly left that race thinking, just a touch, that wasn't awesome. Right. I get the track, and I mean, I like the sense that, like, hey, Brad's like not scared. He's gonna run him back here. Like, that didn't shy, you know, scare him. They knew going into this, right? That's the thing. Like, he knew that Dornick, Sierra Leone were coming here, right? So now he throws two in here to try it. So, I mean, he's not scared. So I think that's a good sign. But, yeah, I didn't necessarily – I'd be a little surprised if he won here. But, again, it's Brad Cox, so maybe not totally surprised. I did see a comment about BU earlier. Todd Pletcher, again, won this race last year with Tappet Trice. BU finally broke the maiden, Halterman, after couldn't break the maiden. Back-to-back grade ones, three straight maidens again, finally did it. Now he shows back up in a grade one. I mean, is it just insane? Is it Rapoli situation here? Or, like, do they really think the talent is there for BU?
I mean, he's ran in big races. You might as well try it, right? He got the maiden broke. To me, like, he really looked great last time out, but it was maybe more of a one-turn situation. I mean, we've seen this horse in two-turn races, and he always runs well enough where you go, well, you know, maybe next time, and then he doesn't do it. And then finally he ran a tremendous race. I thought his last race was good. But, you know, that race, it hasn't really come back to be that good. The runners that finished behind him, I just don't think he's good enough. We've seen it and seen it. I just don't think today's going to be the day for BU.
Yeah, I think BU's the one. Mark, you said it. I think he's a perfect sprinter. I don't think this is going to be his kind of race, but I don't really blame him for trying. It is that time of the year, as we all know, that you try. All right, Halterman, top pick of the Bluegrass.
Yeah, I'm going to go with Chad Brown and number 10, Sierra Leone. I just think we've seen it and seen it and seen it. I am very confident he will show up and run one of his best races, if not the best race of his career. And if it's not good enough, it's not good enough. But I have confidence that Sierra Leone's going to run a big one. So number 10, Sierra Leone for me.
Me too. I got number 10, Sierra Leone on top. I just think when you look at, like, some of the different paths that some of these horses have taken in the different races throughout the crop, like Sierra Leone, this has been they're coming here all along. This has been the plan. I think that he's going to run. I'm not saying, like, I'm going to pick him in the Kentucky Derby, but I do think he is going to run a big race here. I don't believe in Dornick. And I just think when you look at those two side by side, give me Sierra Leone on top. All right, this is a good segue into the betting Bible. Go get it at racingdudes.com right now. If you're kind of wondering, like, hey, what is the betting Bible? Well, it takes Halterman and I every single race on the entire card on Bluegrass Day, the entire Keeneland card, as well as the Santa Anita Derby and Wood Memorial, our exact bets that we will be playing. We'll be live on track playing these bets. Follow along with us how we are going to bet. We have pick threes, pick fours, pick everything included in the multi-race tickets, top four from everyone at racingdudes.com. We get pace analysis for each race, how we think the race is going to play out. But again, if you're trying to, like, you know, hey, we both like Sierra Leone, but how are we going to play it? Are we playing exactas? Are we playing the huge win bets? Are we playing a pick three with the horse singled? Whatever it is, if you've been following along, we've been absolutely killing it. We had a record ROI on Louisiana Derby Day. We're both, I believe we combined us this year, we're at 50%, 53% ROI. It's been a great, great year. So go get racingdudes.com. Grab the betting Bible. All three of these races that we're talking about will have our exact bets separately. of how we are going to play these races.
They're off in the Wood Memorial.
All right, Halterman, let's head to the Wood Memorial at Aqueduct, Race 10, the Wood Memorial Stakes. This is Grade 2. We're 750K going a mile and eight for three-year-olds. Huge field here of 13, but it's headlined by Deterministic and Tuscan Sky for Todd Pletcher. 7-5, though, on Deterministic. It's a 4-1 on Tuscan Sky. 6-1 on Resilience. El Grando at 8-1. But very clearly, these two, and you might even say this one, right? Because Deterministic stays here. Rosario, I thought, is a very interesting move with all the, you know, a lot of mounts he could have had at Keeneland. Stays put to ride his horse in the Wood. Thoughts?
Yeah, I think Deterministic makes ton of sense. If you like Deterministic, go for it, is what I would say. But I took Tuscan Sky. I took the 9 Tuscan Sky in this spot. I really like how he's kind of developing. And I think him and Deterministic both are kind of developing on the same, you know, kind of plane, basically. But I think at the end of the day, I think it's going to be a battle. I think it's a two-horse race here. I really don't have a lot of interest in anybody else. You know, I talked about the Bluegrass, where it's like, yeah, there's a few you could really kind of make a case for here. I guess disappointed would be the word if the 4 of the 9 don't win or run pretty well, because I think they are legit Derby candidates. But I took the 9 Tuscan Sky here. I think his upside's a little bit more than Deterministic, and I like him better at this distance. I'm a little skeptical how far Deterministic wants to go. I'm not skeptical about Tuscan Sky.
I'm with you. I think it'd be a shocker to see one of those two, these two, not win this race. I kind of feel like I said in the opening, it feels like Tuscan Sky is like, okay, this is the horse that's like on the up and up. Whereas Deterministic is like, okay, let's prove what we saw that last race. You know, this is a horse that hadn't been seen since Saratoga. And honestly, a lot of people were like, oh yeah, I remember that horse. Like, I remember that debut. And then you forgot. And then he comes back and looks awesome in the Gotham. I mean, again, the slot, it was a nasty track, but this horse looked he looked the part. So he needs to prove it again. But I'll be honest, dude, like, it was enough for me, who tried to beat him that day, by the way, who also did not put a claim on him as well. Cause I thought, yeah, you know, like I'm not a big believer, to where I'm like, listen, I liked it. I liked it a lot. I love the fact that Rosario stays put. I think Deterministic is going to win here. I'm with you. I the mile and a quarter might be concerning. But I think I do think he can get the mile and eighth. I'm not necessarily too concerned about that. I didn't see a lot out of that, but out of, you know, being a Liam's map, out of a Spitestown dam, that doesn't scream distance, right? And so he might be pushing it a little bit here in this mile and eighth, but I do think it's doable.
I think it's definitely doable. And I'm with you. The class could kind of carry him.
To that point, I do think Tuscan Sky, if he had one more race in him, if he had one more stakes race, you know what I mean? Like, if there was a stakes race, I'd be way more inclined to take him. But I think that class level might be just enough to kind of carry him over Tuscan Sky.
Yeah, I think that's a good point as well. You'd love to see one more race from Tuscan Sky, but, you know, we don't have that. I do know Pletcher progression is a real thing. And I think this is a pretty good path. And I think this is a really nice first stakes attempt. So, but you're right, though. I mean, there's a lot to like about Deterministic. I was just kind of back and forth on it. And I, at the end of the day, I was like, yeah, I'll take a shot with Tuscan Sky. I think the upside at this distance might just be a little bit more. But you're right. I mean, Deterministic, he definitely caught the eye in the Gotham. There's no debating that.
Is there enough here that would tell you either way? I know we talked a little bit on the opening, but either way, but I would even argue, especially Tuscan Sky, to where it's like, wow, that horse might just become my Derby horse. Like, is there enough hype, or not enough hype, but enough belief there in him? Like, if he were to win here, where you're like, not only did he win, but I think he's got that progression heading into the Derby at the right time.
I think so. I think he would become an interesting horse for sure. I think he definitely would. So I think deterministic Tuscan Sky, if either one of them win, I think their horses, when we get to Kentucky, at the very least, we're going to take a second, third, fourth look at them.
Well, I would even go as far as saying I would be, if deterministic wins, I'm not going to have as much, because just because of the distance, I'm a little concerned, right? Mm-hmm. So if he wins, I'll be like, I think he could run well in the Derby. Not sure that he can win. If Tuscan Sky, on the other hand, were to win this race, I'd be like, wow. I mean, assuming he wins it the way that you would hope, you say, well, he's coming in this. He could not, like, if you look at the group of horses, like, he may not be coming. There may not be a horse that's coming into this race at a better, like, trajectory mm-hmm. than Tuscan Sky. So I think I'd be more inclined to pick Tuscan Sky to win the Kentucky Derby between those two mm-hmm. winning this race.
And they're off in the Run Happy Santa Anita Derby.
All right, last one here. Let's head to Santa Anita for the Santa Anita Derby. Grade one. We're 750K for going a mile and eight for three-year-olds. Again, it's a 100-point race, but listen, it's got a couple of Bafferts in here. Really, the big one is Stronghold, as far as that are eligible to get points. But you got Imagination, a huge, huge favorite. Weinstock is the other Baffert, Stronghold, but it's really Imagination versus Stronghold. It appears on paper. Doesn't really mean a lot for the Kentucky Derby, Halterman, mm-hmm. if you're Bob Baffert, if you're Imagination, but it might mean something for the Preakness, which all these seem to be, you know, this year seem to be more Preakness preps than Derby preps for him. But who you got in this one?
You kind of said it last night, and maybe I need to relook at it, or I don't know. But why would Imagination lose here? I guess is where I'll start. I mean, you've got Stronghold. Let's talk about him in a second. The rest of these horses besides Stronghold, I mean, if Imagination loses to him, it just means he just didn't run, right? Or, run his normal race. Like, you look at Weinstock, no good. I don't like any of the three horses of the outside. I don't like the two horses on the inside of Stronghold and Imagination. So, okay, now it's down to two. And I look at this and I go, okay, Stronghold, yeah, he's probably maybe getting better, maybe. You know, hell, Imagination, every single race is better than the last. Mm-hmm. He's been facing much tougher horses than Stronghold. I mean, he's been running faster races than Stronghold. He's got the better trainer as far as Santa Anita Derby goes. You know, I think Phil D'Amato's great, but I mean, it's Bob Baffert and the Santa Anita Derby. Even if Stronghold is really improving, I don't know that he's going to improve enough. Now, the scary thing is, I do kind of feel like Imagination kind of runs to the level of the competition a little bit. So it's probably going to get close, because that's just how he runs his races. Every race he runs, it's close. And you kind of almost feel like, why was that so close? Yeah. I think he's just kind of waiting. So that is the downside on him. But the upside is, he just looks better than the rest of the field. And to me, his improvement arc is about as good as anybody. You look at his races, every race is better than the last. So I went Imagination.
His two races, well, I guess he ran three. He ran on January 1st, but he broke his maiden that day. But his two, like Allowance and then the San Felipe, are, immensely might be too big of a word, but very much better than anything Stronghold has done. And to me, and he's getting better with each start. You look at the way Bob Baffert, obviously he's had his struggles with him early, just couldn't quite break the maiden, even though he'd ran, you know, two good races. And it's just a horse that, you know, it's what you could tell, the Empire Maker Dam, Into Mischief. Like, this horse is going to go long, right? And mm-hmm. but he's been very patient with getting him to that point. You know, mile 16th for the first time last time out. Now he's going to the mile and eighth. I think this is a horse that, I think he's the second best Baffert, which I don't know if it's really saying much. I mean, behind Muth, they can run anyways right now. Nisos obviously is out, but yeah, I'm with you. I think it's a concern that he doesn't like to kind of, he looks like he's going to win every race easily and then kind of just hangs tight. If you look at his past performances, every race is close, win or lose, they're all close, just because that's just what he does. Mm-hmm. But yeah, I would be a little surprised to see him lose here. He just seems, he's just, the way he's kind of coming into this race, it looks like he's about to run a pretty good one. Now, I don't know if he's super great. Like, if he wins here and goes to the Preakness, I'm not sure I would be like, all about picking them, especially with Moose in there as well. But I do think out of the bunch that we have out of out west, like he's gotten the. You talk about a horse that's just, and I'm glad he's on my fantasy team, because you look at a horse that's just gotten, just gifted. Can you, is there a word? I don't know. I know you like imagination maybe more than I do, but like, is there a worse horse that you can think of that's won the San Felipe and San Diego Derby double?
No. And I like imagination a little bit better than you. I don't think he's like some kind of freak or anything, but no.
Typically,
I
mean, if you say, hey, Bob Afford swept that series, you'd be like, well, my goodness, how good is this horse, right? Because that's typical.
You would think Nisos or Muth did it.
Yeah.
Yeah. Look, I'm not sitting here saying, oh, imagination, this horse is some kind of monster. No, not really. But yeah, I mean, look, the San Felipe was a horrible race, you know, and I think this is it's maybe better because of Stronghold, but that's it. Like, say you're not going to play Stronghold or Imagination, like, you got to make up some reasons to play somebody else. And that it's racing, right? And the three of the four, they might lose, like, because it's racing, like any of them could lose, but you do have to get pretty creative to play somebody else. Maybe the two, Tapalo. I mean, that's a horse coming out of a race, got beat by Endlessly. But again, it's like, I don't know if he's that good type of thing. McVay has been bad. So, like,
the trajectory Silver Charm has been, it's been like, so Stronghold, let's just say like the Bob Hope, he got an 80 buyer. He got an 85 in the Los Alpha Charity. And then he got an 89 in the Sunland Derby. That's his high. The 89 was his career high. Imagination has ran. He kind of been the same horse for those first three races, 70, 78, 78. And then the last one or two, last two, 92, and then a 96 in the San Felipe. So that seems to be the trajectory he's going on. I just think he's a little bit better than Stronghold. I think all the numbers kind of support that as well. It's not just buyer speed figures. Quick question, then we'll end this one. Between those two, you know, and you also have Weinstock in here, who obviously did not do it in the Southwest, but there's three, like, who's going to be on the lead to this one? I mean, you got to think Bob Baffert is going to want to dictate this thing. Do you think but Stronghold kind of likes to be right there in the lead too. Is it Weinstock that's like definitely all or nothing, go to the lead and they kind of let Imagination sit off him a little bit?
I think when you look at Weinstock's two wins, he went to the front. So I think that's probably what you're thinking with him in this one. Just send him and hopefully get to the front, and maybe he just won't let him pass. Because if you look at his five races, the races he didn't get on the lead, he's nowhere close. And the races he were on the lead, he won. Now he's facing weaker composition. Well, sort of. I mean, here's the thing. Like, if people think Weinstock is trash, which he's on my fantasy team, I don't think he's very good. He beat Stronghold. Like, so it's like, he literally beat him two races ago. So anyway, and Stronghold even took the lead and let Weinstock beat him. Anyway, it doesn't matter. But the five has to go is my point. He has to go. And I think Imagination can sit off of it. You kind of look at his races. He's sat off of it before. You look at the May Moon race. Maybe it'll shape up kind of like that.
Yeah.
Maybe the five and the six. Maybe the, you know, eight goes a little bit. And then Imagination and Stronghold are just kind of sitting there waiting, and then they'll go get them. So, you know, May Moon was a length or so ahead of Imagination for a lot of that race. And Imagination was fine with it. He wasn't tugging or anything like that. So I think that might kind of be what they try to do.
The May Moon race was exactly what you want to see from a horse other than not finishing the job.
Yeah, exactly. Yep.
He did what he did. And then May Moon is a good horse. And of course he's MIA right now, but yeah, like that was, you know, set, stalked, pounced, got the lead. Race should have been over. Then it wasn't. So
if you go back and watch that race, he is about a length and a half behind May Moon, and it's starting to look like May Moon's getting ready to kind of separate. Like that, Pratt asked him, and like that, he was right to his throat latch. And I thought, now that's a horse that has some ability, because he went and got him. he puts more than a, he puts like a neck ahead of him. And it really looks like early stretch to mid stretch. Imagination's going to win by a couple.
Yeah.
And then Maymoon re-rallies, or Imagination lost interest, one of the two. And then it got, you know, whatever happened after that.
All right. We're both on the number four, Imagination. Obviously no points be rewarded, awarded. For this race, but we do have the four Imagination. Go check out the Betting Bible to see exactly how we're going to play this race.
It was kind of not on purpose. It's like you're looking at Winstock and it's like, oh yeah, he beat Stronghold.
Yeah. It's like, okay, well, if you like Stronghold, how do you not like Winstock? And if you like Winstock, why do you like Winstock? You know,
like, yeah, exactly. I remember. John and I were together for the Los Al Futurity, and he kind of made the comment of Baffert said with Winstock, whatever that was, you didn't know his name. He said, you know, I'm interested in him today because when he got to the front, they said he really didn't want to let a horse pass. And so he won that race gate to wire, but you know, then he went to the Southwest and he couldn't get the lead, and look what happened to him.
All right, guys, it's all time we have. Check us out at racedudes.com for our free picks and, of course, our premium selections on our handicap and products page. Make sure you go get two things. Go check out the best bets page and then go get the Betting Bible. The Betting Bible is available right now. We will have that. I'm going to have it back to Halterman probably here in the next hour, and then we'll kind of go back and forth to finish that off. I expect it to be posted tonight or by tomorrow morning. We're still waiting for the top four from a lot of the folks here that work with us, but yeah, you get top four picks from everybody at racingdudes.com, as well as myself and Halterman's exact picks of how we're playing the races we talked about on this pod, as well as the entire card at Keeneland on Saturday. So you're gonna want to check out the Betting Bible. We've been killing it this year so far. I have like an 80 some percent ROI. You've got like a 30 some percent, I believe, ROI. So we've done really, really well. So make sure you go check out the Betting Bible. It's available right now on the products page. Go check us out on Twitter at @race_dudes, Instagram, Facebook, and TikTok. You can find all episodes of Blinkers Off by visiting our podcast page, Apple Podcasts, or Apple Spotify, all the places you listen to. We are there, as well as the Magic Mike Show and the Dudes Who Bet. Halterman and I will be at Keeneland. This will probably be there tomorrow at some point. The weather's supposed to be shitty tomorrow. But we'll definitely be there all day Saturday as well. So if you're going to be at Keeneland, make sure you look for us. And just, you know, find the nearest bar and then kind of like spread out from there, and there's a chance you'll see us.
I'm excited. There's all kinds of rumors of people who might be coming. So I'm ready. I'm ready to see how it all unfolds.
Should be an eventful weekend.
I believe so. Yes.
What time do you guys hit the road?
We're going to leave at like 4 maybe.
Cool.
Yeah.
Drive until you get tired.
Yes. Yep. Yep. So who knows? I may just stay at Dennis's house tonight. We'll see. Probably not, but
I think he has bunk beds. You could probably sleep on top.
Well, that would be so. Oh man. No, but we'll leave this afternoon as far as we can go. And yeah, I think we'll be there Friday for most of the races, I would think. I don't know. We'll see what happens.
Yeah, we'll see. The weather, it's like typical. Like 2 years ago, it literally the morning of, it was snowing like crazy. It wasn't sticking, but it was snowing like crazy. Mm-hmm. Last year, the weather was phenomenal for the bluegrass. Made a little chilly, but it was beautiful.
Yeah.
And then this year, it's like, I saw the forecast for Friday. It's like rain and snow in the morning. It's like, oh, that's awesome. And then I think Saturday is at least supposed to be in the 50s, maybe. But I mean, it's sunny at least. So I think it's going to be nice, just a little cold.
I think Saturday is going to be great. I think Friday is going to be a mess. And honestly, I was looking at tickets for Friday. They're cheap, like dirt cheap. So I think people are not going Friday.
They'll show up. They'll show up Saturday.
For yeah, sure. For sure.
Yeah. All right, guys. Again, check us out if you're going to be there. And if you're live, I don't know, what is Magic Mike? Are they doing something later? Pick 4, pick 5 at Keeneland.
Yeah, I'd say they'll do Keeneland pick 5. Yeah.
So make sure you check out the Magic Mike Show later on this afternoon. Mm-hmm. All right, guys, I'm Jared Welch. He's Aaron Halterman. Good luck in these final Kentucky Derby preps.
Thank you for listening to another episode of Blinkers Off. Join our horse racing community at racingdudes.com and follow us on Twitter at racing_dudes. Want to make money betting horses? Bet with the Racing Dudes.